The NFL playoffs are here. Watch every game of the postseason for free with the Yahoo Sports app or the official app of the NFL on your phone or tablet. Plus, get all your late-breaking news, highlights, and more. Download the NFL app or the Yahoo Sports app in your app store or at NFL.com/mobile today. Certain restrictions and data rates may apply. What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Viper, Graham Barfield. Michael Fabiano still under the weather. This flu apparently is kicking his butt, man. So yeah. Get better, bro.
It's get better soon, Fabs.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully he will be back with us very soon in the meantime, man. Rest up. Get some fluids in you. Ice up, son. As our colleague Steve Smith might say. So,
do you ice up if you have the flu?
Probably not.
Well, if you have a fever.
Maybe you have a fever, but that seems like a bad idea. So. Yeah. Steve Smith, great receiver, not a good doctor. we actually have some more coordinator news around the NFL. We'll talk about some of that. We'll also talk about this thing. Seahawks Twitter seems to have turned on Pete Carroll, so I'm very curious to get our thoughts on what this means potentially for fantasy. If it happens, it's all a hypothetical right now. Plus, you might have heard, the Super Bowl is coming in a couple of weeks, so we'll take an early look at some of the Super Bowl questions. We'll dig into that, obviously, a lot more as we get closer to the actual game. We got two whole weeks before that happens, we'll start to dig into some of the top-level questions based on what we saw yesterday in the two championship games and, all that. And let's just have some other weirdness as we close out the show. Before we do all that, though, go behind the glass, talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's up?
We have to talk about the most important thing that's going to happen in the Super Bowl, which is not the game. It's that the NFL has to allow the 49ers to wear their all-white throwback.
So, it's funny, too, because I growing up in the Bay Area, I have a text chain with a bunch of friends that I grew up with, and we were texting, obviously, during the game yesterday. And then this morning, one of my buddies texts about that exact topic. And one of the immediate responses was, please, God, no. I hate those uniforms. I hope that they don't wear them. I am personally indifferent to them, other than the fact that they wore them during better times, during their more successful run. I'm sort of indifferent to them. So I'm very curious whether or not the NFL is going to let this happen or not.
I mean, the Rams, it's a weird thing to follow with the uniforms. I know there was like the Rams had an issue, but they had to wait two full seasons before they could change theirs. But in the Super Bowl last year, they wore the old, I guess what you would call the throwbacks.
Right.
But then I read that the Rams wanted to petition to make those their actual home jerseys, so the NFL was okay with it.
Which I want them to do.
Sure, everyone does. But if the Rams wore those last year, I don't see why the 49ers couldn't wear the all-white. I think the all-white throwbacks are amazing. I think the jersey itself with the black like drop shadow looks great. That being said, people are saying if they wore their actual away jerseys, they would look not as good. But I think the white jerseys with the gold pants versus the red jerseys, white pants would be okay. But I think the all whites are a little bit better.
Those all whites are gorgeous.
Yeah. And as I sit here and I'm thinking about it, I mean, one, it reminds me of the Deion Sanders era of the 49er football. And I have been one to say that I don't necessarily love the all one color jersey, but I can kind of get behind the Niners all white ones. I think those are all right.
Yeah, I know you kind of are off to some of the color rush.
Yeah, I think some of them look like pajamas, you know?
The Bills all red does.
Yes.
The Bills all red.
It looks like a onesie or something.
Yeah, those all white Niners are just so sharp.
So, yeah. So I guess I'd be okay with it. We'll see if the NFL, cause I heard the immediate response was no,
right,
but now there's discussion, so it might possibly happen. So
luckily, because Dave on Twitter with his a million tweets about the jersey matchups, the NFL is like scared into like, maybe we should just listen to this guy.
I mean, hey, look, I'll give Dave credit. He at least claims to be the impetus behind USC and UCLA wearing their home jerseys when they play each other. Even if the first year it cost a penalty for one team.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. I think because USC, I think both teams weren't supposed to do it. So I think the first year it was at the Coliseum, and I think SC had to take like a 15-yard personal foul penalty or something like that, or the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. And so, but to be sporting, I think UCLA like kicked the ball out of bounds on a kickoff or something like that. They did something to sort of even it out,
because
it was a silly penalty that nobody understood why they were doing it. So like UCLA, in order to be sporting, did something to take a penalty also to kind of even things out. Anyway, that's enough about that. Let's do some news.
through the news?
Yeah, most of the news is coordinator related so far today. And one that we kind of talked about a little bit last week, but has become official now. Jason Garrett stays in the NFC East. He is not unemployed for very long, and he is now the offensive coordinator of the New York Football Giants. And I know last week, Eddie, you said that you were okay with that, that it wasn't really a big deal. Look, guys, there's talent there. And Jason Garrett, maybe not a great head coach, he was a pretty good coordinator, though, in his time.
Yeah, tons of talent there. I mean, we've been super high on these Giants pass catchers, really their entire offense. I think I've said this before, but Daniel Jones is going to be one of my favorite late-round quarterbacks to target this this coming year. I don't know. Eddie, I'll defer to you about where you land on Garrett. I'm kind of with Marcus, though. There's a lot of talent there, and it's going to be really hard for him to really screw things up, I think.
Totally. As an OC, I mean, his offenses are always great underneath him, and you have Jones and Garrett play quarterback. I mean, besides the fact that he's, went to Princeton, so he's local, was a Giants for, what I believe, the better part of 3 or 4 seasons. Yep. He's dealt with the highest pressure situation by being head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. So going to the Giants as an OC, there's zero pressure on him. Literally, the one negative is that this may be a stepping stool for him to get a job next year.
Right.
I mean, best case scenario for keeping it would be if the Giants are an average team, if they're an 8-8 team, he'd probably stay one more year and then get a job somewhere else, especially if the offense is like on the incline. But having the weapons of Ingram and Shepard and I guess Darius Slayton's a player now, and plus you have Golden Tate with Saquon and Daniel Jones, like you have the pieces. They add a couple O-line guys. They bring in Bill Callahan too, which is a rumor, to help with the O-line. I like the staff, and I saw some people just, people still make fun of Jason Garrett, and I just don't get it, because in my eyes, and I think in people that have a brain's eyes, he is a good coach, and especially a situation where he's just part of the staff, it is a great scenario for the Giants.
I think where people get sick of Garrett, and I think we've all kind of done this to him in a way, it's just the game management stuff. I mean, his game management has just been absolutely abysmal over time. Just routinely punting from inside your opponent's territory, just not being aggressive enough on fourth and short when you have an amazing offensive line that he had in Dallas. One of the things I always took issue with Garrett, especially late in his tenure with the Dallas Cowboys, is that it seemed like every time Dallas got knocked off their script in the first half, they get down, a couple scores, 10 points, something like that. They come back in the second half and make no adjustments.
Right.
I'm really interested to see if Garrett, now that he's just focusing on the offense in New York, to see if he can actually come back around and kind of maybe game plan some things. Because it seemed like in Dallas, he was just relying so much on their talent, and that works to a certain extent. You can rely on Dak and Zeke and Cooper and all these guys to bail you out, but I'm excited to see what Garrett can scheme up. And I don't know if he'd necessarily deserved an OC shot right out of being forced out of Dallas, but
right.
At the same time, there's a lot of talent there.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think for Garrett, this is a chance to sort of rehabilitate his image, and as you mentioned, kind of get back to being a head coach again. So curious to see how this works. But there he is. He stays in the division. I'm sure there will be plenty of Twitter jokes and memes when they play against each other.
You guys see too, where Jason Witten said he wanted to follow Jason Garrett to the Giants.
Really?
Yeah. I guess Witten wants to play one more year, and he said he'd be willing to follow Garrett as some sort of like part-time player. I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was bizarre too.
Interesting. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Speaking of the Giants, Ben McAdoo apparently is a hot commodity now. He is interviewing with the Jaguars for the OC job, along with Jay Gruden. McAdoo apparently is also interviewing for an unspecified job with the Carolina Panthers. He and Mike McCoy. Maybe out of this group, Mike McCoy seems the most surprising name, just because he keeps getting fired like quickly from places. Ben McAdoo seems like another one, Graham, who was a good coordinator, not a great head coach, so maybe the year or so away has had a chance to
maybe
to fix some things.
Maybe I think if Jacksonville were smart, they'd hire Jay Gruden. Gruden, for what it, I mean, why his tenure in Washington obviously ended unceremoniously and very early this year. But I always thought that Gruden did a pretty good job in terms of just like dealing with the absolute nightmare that is, the Redskins organization at times. I mean,
right.
he got the best out of that offense. And honestly, he'd walk into a pretty similar situation in Jacksonville where he'd have to take over and right the ship of a pretty shaky offense. I don't understand Mike McCoy getting another chance.
I just don't get it.
We've seen how many times have we seen Mike McCoy go into a team, you know, either with the Chargers, the Cardinals now, and just be completely meh.
I mean, what, he got fired from two jobs within a calendar year.
Yeah.
That should say a lot about where he is. Now, again, it is an unspecified job, at least as of the reporting yesterday that I read. There was, you know, a mention that Matt Rhule has not hired a quarterback's coach, so maybe that could be the position he's interviewing for.
Sure.
But I would be shocked if he gets another OC job right away.
It doesn't seem to fit into what Carolina's doing either.
Right.
Bringing in a retread? I don't know.
I don't know. For the sake of Christian McCaffrey, I hope it's not Mike McCoy. Just remembering what happened to David Johnson when he took over.
Every run Mike McCoy called was just a dive up the middle.
Right up the middle.
David Johnson was just running in the back of his left guard every play.
So hopefully, I would pray for Christian McCaffrey's sake that McCoy does not end up as the OC in Carolina. Speaking of offensive coordinators, this one maybe hits a little close to home for me. The Eagles interviewing USC offensive coordinator Graham Harrell for their OC gig. I will say, having watched Harrell coordinate the Trojan offense for a year, it would be fun. It would be fun to see him in Philadelphia with Carson Wentz. If they could get some of their wide receivers healthy, we'll see what happens. But it's a lot of air raid, kind of RPO stuff. It's stuff that, in theory, fits with who Carson Wentz is and what they like him to do. They got to get some pieces healthy.
Oh, yeah.
But otherwise, I think, there's some potential for it to be exciting.
Absolutely. Eagles need some receiver help big time this upcoming draft, and they're likely going to get it. They need some speed on the boundary. Maybe they'll get DeSean Jackson back for one more year, but they desperately need it. Marcus, I'm waiting for a huge Carson Wentz here. I'm still so high on Wentz's talent. I think he's going to be one of the better quarterbacks long term. It's just I'm waiting for him to have a breakout season where everything kind of, he gets a little lucky,
right? Maybe.
He gets a couple good receivers, he stays healthy. It just kind of seems like Wentz has not put it all together, and it's not necessarily been his fault every year. It's just he's gotten unlucky.
No, I think that's very fair, because what, 2 years ago, whatever, he was on track, it looked like, to
he
be the MVP.
MVP.
Yeah. He gets hurt, right? Nick Foles comes in. They play well. Everybody's wondering, well, what does this mean for Carson Wentz? This year, Wentz stays healthy, plays pretty well, but everybody around him kind of just disappears because of injury. So you're right. They haven't been able to kind of keep everything intact. So if it happens, look, if they can keep Wentz healthy, if they can get some wide receivers, if they potentially get Graham Harrell in there to kind of bring a more wide-open offense, this could be interesting.
I'm really excited to see what the Eagles could do on offense upcoming year, because Wentz going into their final four games, granted, all four of them are against the NFC East, and they went 4-0 against the NFC East, whatever. But at the same time, Wentz carried that team. They were, his number one receiver this year was Greg Ward to close out the year. Alshon Jeffrey got hurt. I think Wentz is due to have a big year, and hopefully it's in 2020.
Look, and I will say this for anybody who didn't necessarily follow USC football closely. It was not a great season on the field, but Graham Harrell lost his starting quarterback in the first week of the season, at some point was down to his third string quarterback, and still found a way to move the football and put up points. So if there's any endorsement for Graham Harrell, that's the one. Although selfishly, I'd like him to stay at Heritage Hall, but I understand if bigger and better things are calling. So there you go. That is pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
All right. The big question for today, and I kind of caught this last week. Greg Rosenthal kind of alerted me to this via Twitter when he tweeted that Seahawks Twitter is starting to turn on Pete Carroll. And now there's chatter after the latest playoff exit that maybe it's time for Pete Carroll to step aside, that the Seahawks fans are starting to kind of get tired of it. They're frustrated with Pete's stubbornness, I guess you would say, to play defense, establish the run. We know that football Twitter is not much about establishing the run nowadays. There is some chatter. Now, I don't know that any of this chatter has come from the Seahawks themselves. I think this is mostly just kind of a Twitter frustration about watching this Seahawks team play over and over again. But it does sort of beg the question, Graham. We look at this offense and we sort of wonder, as great as having Chris Carson was when he was healthy, that was fantastic. But so much of this offense sort of sputters, and then in the fourth quarter, they're like, hey, let's let Russell Wilson do his thing.
Yeah.
So maybe a change at head coach, or at least a change in coordinator, would be better for us fantasy-wise if it happens?
Sure. Pete Carroll has – the Seahawks have won 10 or more games in 7 of their last 8 seasons with Carroll. I mean, he has just been phenomenal. He's been nails. At the same time, I think we can also resign to the fact that the Seahawks offense is not close to what it should be.
Right.
Because it you're right. Every single time we watch the Seahawks, it seems like they should be either leading in games or at least closer in games in the first, second, third quarter. And then, you know, by the time the game, you know, comes around, wrapping around, the Seahawks need Russell Wilson to carry them. Pat Thorman, he is an analyst over at Pro Football Focus.
That's a lot of really good smart stuff.
Yeah, a really good tweet last week. And he pointed out that the Seahawks in the first quarter this past year during the regular season, they trailed on 48% of their snaps. That was the second highest rate in the NFL just in the first quarter. And by the time the fourth quarter rolled around, like you just mentioned, they were one of the teams that didn't trail at all because Russell Wilson was just leading them from behind because their running game would keep them in, you know, keep them relatively close, but they just had to have Russell Wilson cook. Look, I think the bigger issue here is Brian Schottenheimer's conservatism. I think Pete Carroll has resigned the offense to Schottenheimer. And Schottenheimer, just for whatever reason, I mean, he'll have a few good play calls at the right time, you know, good play action play, and that'll kind of keep the Seahawks offense moving. But I would love to see Seattle kind of embrace Russell Wilson over the next couple of years, especially with these two fantastic receivers that they have in Metcalf and Lockett.
Right.
If they can embrace Wilson and just be a little more pass heavy, I think Seahawks fans would be a lot happier with Pete Carroll.
Right, and I think that's the thing, right? I mean, especially what we saw from DK Metcalf in the back half of the season and in the playoffs. I mean, the guy showed, you know, look, I know that, you know, everybody had questions about him after the combine, his three-cone drill and what have you. But look, they figured out how to use him effectively. They figured out how to highlight his strengths and make him into a good receiver to the point that, you know, we are really debating where he should fall in fantasy drafts next year. I jokingly asked the question a few weeks ago whether or not he was Seattle's number one wide receiver.
It's like a 1A and 1B.
Yeah.
1A and 1B.
I think it is at this point, right? I think you're definitely right. I think they'd like to see it open up. I mean, look, maybe they should be in the market for a Graham Harrell. You know, something like that. It's somebody who can open it up and let Russell Wilson do his thing.
What's funny, too, is they would be so much better of a running team if they did embrace some spread. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you stop slamming the ball into 8-man boxes every single time, spread them out, move them around, and it just seems like the Seahawks are just, they're like nipping at the heels of what they could be on offense. And it's just basically at this right now, the last couple of years, it's just been Russell Wilson bailing them out when they need him. And he's that good that he does it.
I mean, I do think there's something to the fact that when they were short on running backs and they needed help, the guy they turned to was Marshawn Lynch. If nothing else, it was sort of nostalgia for them, right?
Exactly. Look, I love Marshawn Lynch. I mean, Lynch is legitimately one of my favorite players of all time. But them calling him off the streets and then giving him touches in favor of Travis Homer, I don't know. You're right. It was just purely a nostalgia move. I mean,
considering he had been, a couple weeks removed from handing out tequila shots in the Oakland Coliseum parking lot.
That guy is probably not in the best shape ever.
Right.
I mean, I love beast mode, but man. He turned 2 point? Yeah, I think his yards per carry average was like 2.0 and his limited touches there with Seattle. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
So, but then the other question is people are wondering whether or not they are wasting the prime of Russell Wilson. Now, mind you, he went to back-to-back Super Bowls. They won one of those two. And I know that, look, I feel like getting to a Super Bowl is hard. It's really, really hard. And I know people are you know, looking at that window and wondering how much longer it's going to be open for the Seahawks. That one feels sort of like hand-wringing for hand-wringing's sake, that they are wasting his prime. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird like that.
I you definitely have a point. And, you know, the idea that guys have kind of like had maybe, I don't know, disappointing careers like Aaron Rodgers, but just because they haven't gotten to a bunch of Super Bowls, or Drew Brees just because he hasn't gotten to a bunch of Super Bowls. I'm kind of with you.
Right.
Every single year, it is so hard, and we see how hard it is every single year to get to the game. And look, I don't think they're wasting Wilson's career, his prime specifically, too. It's just the fact remains that like every single season we're having this debate with Wilson and the Seahawks is like, what could this offense be if they actually opened it up? If they actually let Russell Wilson throw the ball more than 30 times a game, what would this thing look like? And I think that's really what people want is, we know, yes, you've got to have some semblance of the run game in the NFL. I think
right. We
know that by now. But at the same time, you do not want to build your offense around the run game when your quarterback is Russell freaking Wilson. I mean, he's at every single corner, he proves that he's one of the three or four best quarterbacks in the NFL, and I just think that's really where a lot of this stems from, is people want to see an offense built around Russell and
right.
not built around the run game.
Yeah, I mean, look, if nothing else, it's just fun.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fun to watch Russell Wilson run around and then suddenly like find a guy 30 yeah. yards down the field for a big play. Like, that's just cool to watch.
But also, wouldn't it be nice to see Seattle throw to get ahead? Instead of trying to run to get ahead and then run the ball.
And suddenly you're down two scores and Russell Wilson has to be a magician.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck. So we'll see. I don't expect there to be any coaching movement in Seattle. They're not going to do anything. I think this is just a group of frustrated fans kind of voicing their frustration on Twitter.
One final thing here on Carroll. I think if anything, the biggest mistake he's made over the last couple of years is trusting his defense too much, because he was so used to, back in those heyday years when they were in the Super Bowl, they had an amazing defense. Now their defense is either just average or maybe even slightly below average. And I think that's kind of what bit him at the end of this past year, is the Seahawks were trying to rely on their defense to
right.
keep them in games. And it was just clear to, I think, most people that their secondary is just nowhere close to where it once was.
Yeah.
Even though Clowney was taking over games, but man, their secondaries need some help.
I think some of it is, one, Pete Carroll is by nature a defensive guy.
Exactly.
And so he always sort of wants to lean on that. But I also think, Greg Rosenthal made another good point on Twitter where he said, Pete Carroll he's been coaching that team like it's the team he wishes he had and not the team he actually has. And
that's perfectly said.
That could have something to do with it. So, it's fun to talk about, but like I said, I'm pretty sure Pete Carroll is going to be the head coach there next year, and Brian Schottenheimer is likely going to be the offensive coordinator, and I'm sure we'll get to October and we'll still be having the same conversation about the Seahawks.
Definitely not wrong.
All right. So we had two championship games yesterday, and Graham, we talked about this before we started recording. I think the matchup is going to be great. The championship games themselves were sort of a letdown.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Letdown there. I mean, Chiefs-Titans was close after the first half, and then the Chiefs basically had the ball that entire third quarter and kept Derrick Henry off the field. And yeah, I think it was kind of just, hopefully it's a lead up to a really good Super Bowl, because this matchup is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. So we get an all red Super Bowl, which I read this morning is the first time that has happened in all red. And we talked about the Niner uniform situation, what they will or will not wear. We'll see. But it did give me a few questions right off the top of my head after seeing what we saw on Sunday in both the AFC and NFC championship games. And the first one is Patrick Mahomes the best running back in Kansas City? He's got 106 rushing yards on 15 carries in the last two games. Damien Williams has like 95 carries. I mean, I'm joking, but Mahomes is showing off a running skill that we kind of knew he had, but he's really flashed it big the last 2 weeks.
So you're saying Patrick Mahomes is the Ryan Fitzpatrick of
the
Chiefs?
He absolutely is.
I thought Mahomes didn't run enough last year when he was thrown for 50 touchdowns. I guess you don't have to run the ball very much, but it always seemed like, just watching the games and going back and reviewing, it always seemed like Mahomes had like rushing lanes and scrambling lanes that he just wasn't taking.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's taking them.
Right.
That rushing touchdown yesterday was
amazing.
One of the best rushing scores we've seen. That looked Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson-esque.
Right.
I mean, he has the ability to make those types of plays. Mahomes, real quick, what is Mahomes' running style, though, to you? Like, he's quick, but he kind of just, like, leans forward. It looks like he's stammering at times, but he's in control.
So I've always described Patrick Mahomes as, like, I've always said he plays quarterback like a shortstop, and I think he runs like a guy who's, like, stealing bases.
Yeah, okay.
It's like he sort of scrambles like a base runner, like
I see that. Yeah.
Like he's like trying to make the turn around second, heading to third or something like that. I think that's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah, I totally see that.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think that is an interesting dynamic. It's an added dimension to his game. One, I think if you are Robert Saleh and you are the 49ers defense, it's one you have to look out for in a couple of weeks all of a sudden that maybe you didn't think about. But as we talk fantasy-wise, one of the things I know we keep talking about is drafting a quarterback who can get you those rushing yards. if this is something that we see moving into next year, that he's going to continue to add to his game. I mean, look, he's going to still get drafted as one of the top three quarterbacks anyway. But, man, this is just such a bigger thing for him.
So Lamar is going to go top 15 in every single draft, no doubt.
Right.
Where is Mahomes going? Top 30 still?
Yeah, I think
probably.
So.
He'll probably still be a third-round pick.
Because I think people still see the potential for him to throw 50 touchdowns again is always there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the difference in ADP is between Lamar and Mahomes. Because as you mentioned, I mean, even if Mahomes scrambles just a little bit more every week, then that's just even more dynamite for this incredible offense.
Which is why he had 218 rushing yards during the season. He's had 105 in two games of the playoffs.
Wow.
So, or 106, I think, is actually what it is. Speaking of running backs, you got to pick one. Damian Williams or Raheem Mostert, where are you going?
I mean, we'll see what Tevin Coleman's injury looks like if you're trying to play some showdown for the Super Bowl. We'll see what Tevin Coleman's shoulder injury looks like. If he's out, it's probably Mostert, just because that 49ers run game is going to travel, and they are going to try to run the hell out of the ball against the Chiefs front seven, man. Is going to be their game plan.
Were you surprised that Matt Breida got zero work yesterday?
I don't know what's going on with Breida.
I mean, even just like in mop-up duty, like in the second half or something.
I don't know if he's still hurt, because he obviously was dealing with another injury in the middle of the season and really hasn't gotten on the field at all. I mean, he came back in week 14, and since then he's got like maybe 15, 20 carries, something like that total over the Niners like last six or seven games. I don't know what's going on with Breida. But we've seen from Shanahan, you know, he'll just ride the guy that's giving them the best chance to win in that game.
Right.
And yesterday it was pretty clear it was Raheem Mostert.
Yeah. Breida played two snaps.
Wow.
Got one carry for 2 yards, which I must have blinked because I don't remember seeing that.
I don't remember it either.
All right. Yeah. Damian Williams, though, has played very well.
He has, man.
The numbers aren't necessarily eye popping. I mean, he had the three touchdown game a couple of weeks ago against the Texans. But he's playing really, really well right now.
I'm interested to see what Kansas City does. Like, I don't think they're going to spend a top two or three round pick on a running back this year.
I wouldn't
think so. And if they don't spend a premium capital pick on running back, it'll be interesting to see where Damian Williams goes, because he might be, just because people are so we're so sick of him this year, he might be a really nice value.
He very well could.
If he's like a fifth round pick, because as a receiver, he has been phenomenal for the Chiefs. I mean, they were not only was Mahomes dumping the ball off to him on a few plays, like they scheme the ball to him in the passing game.
Right. Yeah, I think that's, look, we came into the season hoping that Damian Williams was going to be the guy, and we went much of the year frustrated because he, doing injury and then just working other guys in.
They trust him so much that, I mean, LeSean McCoy is not playing. I mean, he was a healthy scratch essentially yesterday.
Yep. Yeah. He's done, right? He's not coming back to Kansas City next year.
Yeah.
All right. Is Sammy Watkins actually back? He had over 100 yards yesterday, 114, I believe. He had 76 yards 2 weeks ago. And yesterday, he had like 12 targets. I mean, they threw him the ball a lot. Hadn't done anything since week one of the season. I mean, I would imagine in part it's just because they are taking what the defense gives them, but he just reminds us that, when he's good, like he can be really, really good sometimes.
Yeah, he can be. It's just we never know what we're going to get with Sammy Watkins.
Right.
And more often than not, it's going to be the bad end of Watkins. I don't know if he's back. I always think, and I've thought this entire year, that the Chiefs would have been better off giving some of Sammy's snaps to Mecole Hardman. Maybe we'll see. Maybe Hardman hasn't come along enough for Andy Reid, and his route running isn't all the way there. I don't know. But Watkins, it was good to see the ceiling again yesterday from him. I mean, he looked like the Buffalo Bills version of Sammy Watkins,
right.
And that version of Sammy was incredible. I mean, especially in his first 2 years. He was one of the best young receivers in the NFL, and it just kind of seems like he has not been able to put it together since then. And yesterday was just another flash in the pan of what Watkins could have been.
Right. Yeah. He only had two targets against the Texans, although one of them was a really big play. But then yesterday, they just kept feeding him the football. And I'm like, this is the Sammy Watkins that people spent a late round pick on hoping to get some production.
He had one really bad drop. But other than that, I mean, he was phenomenal yesterday.
Yeah,
he was absolutely huge for them.
One of the bigger talking points, matchups, if you will, of the Super Bowl is going to be the two tight ends, because we have arguably the top two tight ends in the game facing off against each other. Yes, and I know they're not actually facing off against one another. They're never going to be on the field at the same time. But whatever. Travis Kelce, George Kittle. You're making a lineup. Who you got?
Man, I think it's Kittle, even though the Niners are not throwing the ball at all. The Niners have the ability to try to really slow down Kelce. And that's kind of what we saw from the Titans yesterday, is they really put a lot of bodies on Kelce, kind of took away that middle of the field look. And I think that's why Watkins and Hill both had big games against the Titans, is because Tennessee was like, okay, we just saw Travis Kelce go completely off the week before. We're going to try to take away the middle of the field. And Patrick Mahomes being Patrick Mahomes, he can burn you in a number of ways. The Niners have even more talent to take away the middle of the field. And even though Jimmy Garoppolo is not throwing the ball at all, Marcus, I think Kittle is overdue for a humongous game, and I think he'll have it in the Super Bowl.
It's funny, too, because they talked on the broadcast most of the day about how Kittle hadn't had a target, and then Garoppolo went an hour and a half without throwing the football.
I think he did not attempt a pass in the entire third quarter.
He did not.
And then his first pass attempt came in like the middle of the fourth.
Something like that, yeah.
And it was only one.
But it was the Kittle.
Yeah.
And it was the Kittle for like 15 yards. So, which actually begs the question, I would think it would be hard for the Niners to hide Garoppolo again in the Super Bowl. They've done a really good job the last couple of weeks. Wow. I mean, look, he had a couple of near picks against the Vikings, and at that point, I feel like Kyle Shanahan sort of pulled the plug on him throwing the football too much. He had 8 pass attempts yesterday.
Yeah.
That's it.
That was the fewest in playoff history. Fewest in playoff history is 8.
Which is amazing. I mean, even it's amazing generally. It's even more amazing in 2020.
Exactly. That it's happening now.
Right.
It's happening now. I mean, there's all of this analysis out there that's, you got to throw to win. And it's all true. But at the same time, there are one-off games where, like yesterday, the Niners just dominated on the ground and just did not have to do anything through the air. That's got to come around. We saw it yesterday with Tannehill. Like, we talked about this on the podcast last week, is, will Ryan Tannehill and AJ Green and all these guys have to, will there be more volume? And lo and behold, they played the Chiefs, and there was. Tannehill had to drop back 31 times to throw, or 34 times to throw, and that'll probably be around the number Garoppolo will be back there. And we'll see Kittle and Debo and Sanders and all these guys normally involved.
Yeah, I would think so. You mentioned Sanders. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders has been sort of a non-entity. Part of it, I think, is because they're not throwing the football a lot. But, I mean, he's had, I think, 3 targets in the last 2 games. I think just 2 catches.
That's all it is, though. Manny was phenomenal to end the season for the Niners. Even though he was kind of up and down in the box score, he was always open. And it's only because, Garoppolo's thrown it 26 times over his last 2 games.
That's wild.
And some of those, some of them haven't even mattered. Some of those dropbacks just don't even matter. Right. They're running the ball so well, they've been ahead. They've just been dominating.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. Although, Debo Samuel, man, I mean, you want to talk about a guy who really has flashed this, not only this year, but especially lately.
He's so good.
I mean, to the point that they're getting him the ball any way they can, whether it's as a receiver, runner, they're just getting him the football right now.
I mean, he's already one of the 5 or 10 best receivers after the catch in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He is so explosive. He's essentially like a running back.
Yeah.
And they use him as that. Shanahan's just trying to get him in space, and it is, it's working. Next year, how early will Debo and Manny go? Because I think people have seen that these Niners want to be extremely run heavy.
Right.
But both Sanders and Debo have just amazing ceilings in this offense too.
I would be surprised if they go off the board before the 8th or 9th round.
Yeah, I think so too. If Debo's a 9th round pick, I'm gonna have him on a bunch of teams.
All about that.
Yeah.
Absolutely all about that in the 9th round. Yeah, it's funny too, because they're sort of, I don't want to completely compare them to what the Rams were doing last year, but when we saw a lot of Sean McVay using jet sweeps and a lot of motion to get the ball to Robert Woods and that sort of thing, and I feel like Kyle Shanahan has incorporated at least a little bit of that into his offense, especially in terms of getting the ball to Debo Samuel recently. So
no doubt.
It's going to be fun. So, yeah, there you go. It's like I said, this is just the start. We're going to have plenty more to talk about when it comes to the Super Bowl. It's 2 weeks away. We will definitely dig into it a little bit more on the Wednesday before the game. So, a little more than a week from now, week and a half, I guess, from now. So, stay tuned for that. So, there you go. Also, just a heads up, we're going to start trying to get some more guests on. So, we'll be digging into our contact lists, our Twitter DMs for some folks.
As you call it, your Rolodex, your Twitter Rolodex.
Yes, my Twitter Rolodex, which I'm sure there are people out there who are like, what is a Rolodex? kids, it was like your contacts app, but on little note cards. I know that sounds weird. Google it. Before we get out of here, I mentioned last week this thing about Jay Ajayi, how he's decided to become a professional gamer. This is his new career path now that I guess his NFL career looks like it's going to be over. It did not go well to start. He's playing, I believe he's playing FIFA.
Yeah.
Is what it is. He did not win a single match.
Oh, boy.
In his first tournament.
So he joined the Philadelphia Union.
Yes.
Up in Philly for the EMLS for FIFA 20. Yeah, that's not great.
Not great. Everybody else in the tournament won at least two matches. Not only did he not win, he didn't even get a draw. I mean, he just flat out lost every match he played in. Look, I am not the gamer that I once was. I used to, you know, be a big gamer, but it did make me wonder, like, if there's a video game, past, present, whatever, that you were going to go pro in. Is there one you have?
I've always been partial to the sports games like FIFA. Mm-hmm. I also love Rocket League. I'm terrible at Rocket League, but it's a lot of fun. I'm absolutely horrible at it, but I always have so much fun playing it. What about you? What did you used to play?
See, my last real gaming hurrah, I was a big Tiger Woods golf guy.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love Tiger Woods.
And those 05 EA Sports games.
Yeah.
So good.
They were great. If there was one I was probably going to try to go pro in, it probably would be Tiger Woods. I could never, in FIFA, I could never quite figure out, like, the set pieces. I was never really good at setting up set pieces, corner kicks, and that sort of thing. So that sort of hindered me. I'm trying to think what else. I mean, if we want to dig way back into the crates, I mean, a Tecmo Super Bowl probably would have been my jam.
Yeah.
But
rest in peace, Tiger Woods Golf. Those games were
really good. Fun.
They were so fun. Then they try to reprise it with Rory.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Wasn't the same.
Just not the same. So yeah, I don't know. Eddie, do you have one where you might have gone pro in?
I think the one I'd be closest to was a few years back in the NHL games. I haven't played as much recently. The one thing that would hurt me was because I was good at both options, but there was the game mode where you could play as the player. Mm-hmm. So the control is different than when you're controlling the entire team.
Right.
And because I did kind of both equally, it probably hindered my skills on one, but I was pretty good at both. Madden, I was never good enough. Same thing with like Call of Duty. I'm good. I'm not enough to go pro. So.
Right.
NHL would probably be my pick.
That's the thing with all Call. I mean, I'm fine at Call of Duty, but there are men and women out there that like live and breathe it, and they're always destroying me.
Right. Eyes closed, better than me. Yeah,
exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. No, that one. And Madden was the same one. Like I can play for fun, but like, yeah, I don't. I can't play on the level that the pros play on.
Yeah, I played one person who was probably. This is years ago, could have been close to pro, and just like audible, like see my defense audible out of stuff, and then same thing with my offensive sets, but audible their defense into stuff, and then just every play was just like stopped. Couldn't gain a yard, and I was like, oh, this is what it's like. Really good people. Yeah. It's scary. It's not even fun anymore.
Right. At that point, it really isn't fun. So anyway, best of luck to Jay Ajayi. Hopefully, his next go around with the Philadelphia Union goes better than this one. It is wild. I for a while was like trying to get into Overwatch League, not necessarily to play, but just to kind of follow along with.
Yeah.
I'm amazed at how much player movement there is. Like, guys switch teams, guys and girls switch teams all the time. And it's like, I mean, if you're into it, like, you understand it, you follow it, and you know, I was out the other day walking around at the Grove in downtown LA or whatever, mid-LA, and there was somebody wearing a London Spitfire Overwatch League like hoodie.
It's growing,
and stuff.
Man.
Like it's growing.
It's really cool. It's a really cool time to be a gamer, get into the space, because I mean there's so much money flowing into it. Not only from like just a tournament perspective, but investment. I mean, there are so many people getting into it.
Yeah.
Overwatch is wild.
Overwatch is wild.
Man.
I would watch that I know it comes on like Disney Channel. I think ESPN showed it for a while.
I've tried to play. I'm not good at
I'm
all.
Awful.
But
at
it is incredible to watch.
It is awful at
so
it.
So bad at Overwatch.
I would say this. I went to an actual Overwatch League event up in Burbank, not far from here. And was floored. Because I'd only sort of heard about it. I hadn't seen it in person, and was just floored that they actually shoot it in what is the old Johnny Carson Tonight Show studio.
Cool.
This place seats 500-600 people. The place
really
was packed.
Cool.
Everybody had signs and banners. And I mean, it was like going to a legit sporting event.
Awesome.
And like that's really encouraging, especially if you're into that sort of thing. So, any game, good luck, Jay Ajayi. Hopefully things get better from here. I mean, I guess there's nowhere to go but up at this point when you don't win a game. So there you go. All right, that is it. We are done. We appreciate you downloading and listening as always. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, if you think you aren't sexy, think of all the times you undressed in your bathroom and your shower got turned on. We'll see you on Wednesday.